Our reading this morning is from 1 Samuel chapter 16. Samuel anoints David. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Aminadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah.
I want to acknowledge up front that it's not normal for a pastor to make that kind of announcement and then get up and preach. Yeah, I do what Sam tells me, you know. We can only stitch you up, Sam. Be kind to him after I'm gone. So I acknowledge there's probably a lot going on in your thoughts and emotions and maybe ability to concentrate. And there is for me as well. But I do want to try to do three things in this message. It is called Waiting on God for His Unfolding Plan. And so I do want to share in a bit more detail about how God has unfolded His plan in my life. I also want to look at the story of King David and how God unfolded His plan in his life and the principles that we can take from that. And then thirdly, just want to invite you to consider how God is unfolding His plan in your life too. I've always felt a kind of affinity for David in the Bible. We've got a few things in common. My middle name is David, which means manly. I don't know if you knew that, but it's just always felt right, you know? David was also the youngest child in his family, which I am as well. Where we part is I don't think I'm going to be king at any point. But I've always, you know, if you think of that classic verse about David, that he was a man after God's own heart. And that's who I've always wanted to be. And the comfort that we find in David is that he was that, but also made some big mistakes and did it imperfectly. And yet God still saw his heart. So I want to kind of look at four moments in God's plan for David. The first is the calling. And that was what Shero just read out for us. David was anointed. Now, what we just had read was a private anointing. But David was anointed privately as king over Israel when he was 13 years old. That's why his dad didn't think of him. Can you imagine receiving a calling like that at that age? But when I think of my own life, I was a teenager too when I remember God starting to speak to me, when I remember God starting to give me visions and dreams and prophetic words. The first time I ever preached a sermon, I was 18 years old, and I just felt God spoke to me, kind of in a waking dream. And I went to my pastor, and I was like, I think I've got a sermon to preach. And he was crazy enough to let me. But it was, for me, it was from a very early age that I felt God starting to speak to me. And some of those things, like that sermon, was he was speaking to me about something for that exact moment. It's kind of like, here it is, do it. But other things didn't have an immediate application. So even as a teenager, I would have these kind of visions of young people from different churches and backgrounds coming together to do creative stuff. When I was 20, I had an idea for a musical that my best mate Dave reminds me every year I have not yet written. But that was in me. From a very early age, God was working something in me, and I felt this call that, you know, I'd go into full-time church ministry. You know, I just had this sense like, oh, He's calling me to something particular. And I know I have good company there in the Bible as well. And one of the other verses in Scripture that I've always related to is when the Apostle Paul kind of says, hey, I don't really, and it's a paraphrase, he's like, I don't really know all the detail of what I'm about to do here, but I just have this sense from the Holy Spirit that some persecution is coming. And it was just this sense in him, the Holy Spirit working of something that was to come. And I would say for me as well, I've just had this sense that ahead, God was going to bring me to something in particular. But then there's the wait. So David was around 13 when he first received this calling. He was 30 by the time he actually became king of Judah, and 37 by the time he became king over Judah and Israel. So it's 17 years knowing he was going to be king, but also just needing to get on with his life. And so that's what David did. He continued to shepherd. He became a servant, a musician in Saul's court. We read that he would bring food to his brothers on the battlefield. He just kind of got on with life. Just did what was before him to do. And a part of that wait too was his big moment with Goliath. So for 17 years, David carried this calling, and yet it wasn't time. He just did what God gave him to do. And for me as well, I feel like I've had this sense of calling since I was a teenager, and yet I've been waiting. Waiting for the time that God would say, okay, now. Now is the time. So between then, I've done what God's put before me to do. So I did a business degree in economics and accounting out of high school. I worked in finance for a while. I did Bible college. I traveled a lot. I got into full-time sports ministry. And then I was a lead pastor in Ohio, came here as an associate pastor. And none of those things have felt like a stepping stone to something else or a means to an end. All of those things have to me felt like what God wanted me to do. That God was in it. It was His will for me. He was present with me in it. He brought fruit from those things. But at the same time, over that whole period, for David it was 17 years, for me it's like 25 years. I felt this sense in me that there was still this particular thing that God was leading me towards. And over the last couple of years, I felt like, you know, that verse from Jeremiah when he talks about the fire in his bones. He's like, I can't not speak this. I must speak. It's just like a fire pent up in my bones. It has to come out. And that's how I've felt over the last couple of years. That the words God's been speaking to me and the things that He's been showing have become for me like a fire in my bones. Like, I have to do this. I have to get this out of me. But of course, in those moments of waiting, it's also a time of preparation. So for David, when he's serving his brothers and bringing them food, when he's serving in the court of Saul, he's learning. He's learning humility. He's learning servanthood. When he's facing Goliath, he's learning courage and bravery. When he's being persecuted and hunted by Saul, he's learning perseverance and also grace. Each of those experiences in David's life were meaningful in their own right, but they were also preparing him for what was to come. When I think of my own life, when I look back to the things that I've done, I can see three particular themes in the activities that God has called me to engage in. The first is ministry to and discipleship of young people. Whether it's in sports ministry, whether it was as a youth leader, as a youth pastor, young adults pastor. Even when I was a lead pastor in Ohio, I still was doing the youth ministry. Like, my heart has always been for young people and their discipleship. Also for tangible Christian unity. When I was leading, back when I was at St. John's in Sutherland and I was in my 20s and I was leading a youth Bible study, which was the equivalent of what we have now as DTS on Sunday afternoons, I did with them what I called a church crawl. So rather than do a Bible study, we would go and visit another church. And we went to the range. We went to a Lutheran church, a Catholic church, a Pentecostal church. And that was all part of saying, hey, just because you're growing up in this denomination doesn't mean it's the only one, and let's get a broader perspective on the church. I remember doing an essay in Bible college about the relationship between Protestants and Catholics and can we have unity and how might we go about that. And I remember just weeping about the division and the brokenness in the church. Ambassadors, the soccer ministry, was an opportunity for me to help churches work together in ministry and in mission and in outreach. It's always been something that God has drawn my heart to. And also creative ministry. I mean, soccer ministry is a kind of creative ministry, but I've always loved music and drama and to see creative and performing arts happen. And I've had the joy of leading that with our 5 p.m. service congregation and doing creative campaigns and embracing the arts and seeing that richness brought into our ministry. And so as I look back, there have been these three big themes that God's always drawn me to. But as well, he's grown in me, I believe, kind of three particular spiritual gifts. And one is the gift of apostleship or an apostolic gift, which really just boils down to God uses me to start new things. And I've had the opportunity of starting new ministries in multiple churches. I've had the opportunity of starting ambassadors in Australia where it didn't exist before. Coming here and starting or restarting our night service, our youth and young adults, that's in me. God's been growing that in me over those years. Also, teaching and the prophetic, to speak God's words to people, to seek God for his message to his church. And I've grown in that gifting. But particularly here at CBC, I've grown in the pastoral gifting. I've learnt what it means to be broken with people. I've learnt what it means to love people, to feel one with a church, to truly be a shepherd to God's sheep. And I'm grateful for that because I'm very task-oriented, very strategic in my mind. But I don't think God could use me in his church, especially in the broader church, until I understood what it meant to love his people. And then thirdly, I think God has worked on my character. He's worked on my heart. And in a similar way to David, he's done that to teach me humility, to teach me love, to teach me faith. And those really are the most important things. I feel like God, maybe David was a bit better than me. It's taken God 25 years, I think, to put me in a place where I think I really am ready for him to lead me out and that it won't be about me. I think probably on most of the years up to now, I was pretty focused on building my own esteem, my own kingdom. But God's led me on a journey of working that out of me. And again, I know I'm in good company there. It took years for God to prepare Moses to lead. We all know the Apostle Peter had some kinks that Jesus needed to work out of him. But finally, there's a moment, or moments. For David, it was Goliath. Am I going to just do what everyone else is doing and sit back and just say, oh, I'm too young, this isn't my fight? When he was called publicly as king of Judah and Israel, when he was leading God's people into battle, there were these moments that David had where it was like, okay, deep breaths, like, am I going to do this? And that's been the moment that Gillian and I have been in over these last months. Especially as it became apparent that it would mean stepping out into no job, into no certainty, into the unknown. It's like, okay, deep breaths. Can we do this? Can we take this step? We believe this is where God's leading us, but can we, when the moment comes, can we step out? And I've definitely freaked out about it. I'm not going to lie. Even a couple of weeks ago, I was just sitting at home on the couch and I was just like, what am I doing? I jumped on christianjobs.com. And I don't know what I was doing. I was just like, It was just this weird freak out moment. And then I had to talk myself down. I was like, it's okay. It's okay. God's calling us. God will provide for us. We can trust him. And we do feel the sadness of this moment. Like I said, we don't want to leave CBC even for a moment. We've got to figure out financially how we're going to make it work. We're worried about Min and, you know, any sense of disruption for him. There's a lot we don't know about this moment. There's a lot we've got to trust God with. But at the same time, we just got to go. This is our moment. And again, I know we're in good company with it. Not only with David, but with Abraham, when God called Abram. God literally had to introduce himself to Abram. He didn't have any clue who he was. And then God was like, okay, I'm God. I'm going to make you a great nation, and you're going to be a blessing. So it's time to go. For Abram, well, you can imagine the questions that he had and the uncertainty and the doubts that he had. But Abram just said, all right, I'll go. There's a lot I know as a Christian, as a pastor, as a leader. There's a lot that I know that I'm not good at. I'm not a very disciplined person when it comes to my own quiet times, prayer, Bible reading. Like, that's a struggle for me. I don't necessarily plan things as far in advance as some people might prefer. I have been known to write a sermon on a Sunday morning. So I know I'm not perfect. But the one thing that I've always wanted to be true about me is that whenever the moment comes, I say yes to God. Now, I want to clarify something here. As I've been talking about David and Paul and Jeremiah and Moses and Peter and Abraham and comparing my story to theirs, I don't want you to think that I'm like on their level. I don't want you to walk away from here and someone's like, so what's Andrew going to do? And you're like, I think he thinks he might be king somewhere. I really am not sure where, once we finish here in April, where the next 6 to 9 months is going to take us and what happens after that. We really don't know. It may mean God leading us into a whole new ministry and a new path. It may mean I get this out of me and then I come back to being a pastor and God leads me to a church that is kind of on board with all this. Like, I really don't know where all this is going. So the reason why I've mentioned, you know, all these kind of heroes of the faith, it's not because I think that's, you know, where I'm at with them, but it's more because when you look kind of on the surface of what I'm doing as a 41-year-old guy with a wife and a kid and a mortgage, to quit your job and not have a job to go to is a crazy thing. And maybe even an irresponsible thing. The only way, I think, from a worldly perspective, what I'm doing makes sense is if I'm having a midlife crisis. And I don't think I am. No, I know I'm not. You've seen my car. It's a 2011 i30 is not the car of a midlife crisis. The reason why I wanted to kind of share not just my story, but the story of David and the story of other heroes of the faith, is because what I'm doing from a worldly perspective is crazy, but from a biblical perspective, from God's perspective, it's normal. It's actually what God does with his people, what he calls them to, the plans that he unfolds in their lives. So as I finish, I want to invite you to consider how God is unfolding his plan in your life. So let me ask you, have you ever felt a particular calling from God for your life? Whether that be a vision, a dream, a passion, a strong desire, or just a deep inner sense that God was going to use you or work in your life in a particular way. And again, that can happen at any age. It may have been something God spoke to you or did in your life as a child, as a teenager. Or maybe it's something more recent. Have you ever had a sense of what God wanted to do with your life? Something in particular? And if you have, then what are you doing with it? Have you moved on from it? Are you still holding it in your heart, in your spirit? Secondly, are you being faithful with each thing God puts before you to do? Because again, I think the biblical example and my experience as well is that actually we spend a lot of our lives not doing the big thing. And maybe for some of us, we don't have any sense that there is a big thing. But what we all have are the things that God puts before us to do and the need to be faithful with them, whatever they are. So what is it for you? What's God put before you in your life right now? What is your current thing God has led you to that he's asking you to be faithful with? Thirdly, when you look back at your life so far, in what ways do you see God growing and preparing you? What activities keep recurring? What gifts and skills is he developing? How's God shaping and refining your heart and your character? Because when I think about, you know, those moments of discipleship of young people and Christian unity and creative ministry, and that those have always been in me for 25 years now. But as I sit down to write this book about this present moment and how we as the Christian church respond to the changes in our society and what that means for how we need to change, to adapt to it, the three things that God has put on my heart that will go into this book about what can we press into, what is the new thing that God might be calling his people to. It's church unity, that we as churches and denominations would work together to respond to the challenges we're facing. It's discipleship of young people. And again, it's always been in me, but we've got a crisis right now that we need to respond to. And it's creative ministry, because we can't just do the things we've always done. We have to embrace the new things of God. So that's my journey. When you look back at your life, what does God keep drawing your attention to, getting you involved with? What's he been doing in your heart? What meaningful things in the moment may have also been preparing you for something ahead? And fourthly, is there any particular way in your life right now that God is calling you to go, to step out in faith? Is this right now in your life a moment where God is calling you to step out, calling you to trust him, calling you to be obedient to what he's given you to do. And have you thought about what might happen if you do? And also what might happen if you don't? When I first told Paul around the middle of last year what was going on in my heart and what I felt God calling me to do, I had a kind of rare dramatic emotional moment with him. And I just said, I just feel like if I don't do this, my soul will die. And actually, once you feel that, it simplifies things a bit. Is there anything that God's given you that he's calling you to go and do? As I finish, I really want to invite you. We've got 3 months here, or the best part of. Really want to invite you to come and talk to me, meet with me, ask questions. I'd love to talk with you more about what God's calling us out to do. But I want to finish with just this thought as we think about God's unfolding plan for me, for you, and for our church. And this is the thought. Firstly, it's not about the plan. There isn't one plan that God has for every person. We're all different. We're all unique. God calls us in different ways. He equips us in different ways. He gives us the circumstances of life that are different. So there isn't the plan. That doesn't exist. It's also not about their plan. Often, so we look at people and what God's doing in their life, or even just what's going on in their life, and we compare ourselves to it, and we get distracted from our own lives because we're constantly looking at the lives of others. And I've felt that too, even over the last couple of years. I crave for Jillian and I stability of relationships and a sense of home. We don't want to leave our friends. And I see our friends who are connected and who get to look to the future and anticipate being connected more, and the kids will grow up together. And I want that. But that's their plan. It's also not about our plan. My idea, my way of figuring things out. In the end, what matters is God's plan. That's what will bring us our greatest joy. It's his plan that will bring us life, that will be for our good. And we can be confident in it. Whatever he brings us to do, we can trust him with the details. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you that you are a good father. Thank you that you are sovereign over all. Your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. Your wisdom is far beyond our wisdom. Lord, you see what's going on in our own hearts. You see what's going on in our church, in our nation, in our world. You see the ways in which your people are struggling, and yet, God, you never leave us to struggle without you, that you, in every season of life, in every circumstance, that you are always working for our good, that you are always raising up and sending out that you are always equipping and calling. God, I thank you that we can trust you in all things, including this church, God. May you continue to lead us all into your will, into your goodness. May we trust you and experience the joy of walking each day with you. Amen.